Tonight, when Brother David called me, I said, well, I need to come up with something simple, something I even understand, and a story from the Bible that that all of us know. And probably you're going to say, wow, I know about all that there is to know about that story. And probably I'm going to repeat a lot of the stuff that you already know. But it's a story about Philip. And we're going to be looking at this story. It's in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. But just as kind of a very, very brief introduction to this, whenever I think of Philip and I think of the disciples and I think of all those people who were very, very close to Jesus, one word comes to mind to me, and that is the word witness. Because that's what he called everyone to do, is to be a witness. And I'm not sure of you, how many of you have ever been to court. Unfortunately, I've been to court many times, not as the victim, but as someone who's had to testify in court. And the one thing that we all know whenever we're called to go to court, the only thing we can actually testify to is something that we've either seen or something that we have experienced. It's you can't go in and say, yeah, so and so told me that this is what happened. You have to know what happened. And as we think about Jesus and we think about the fact that he told his disciples, the very last command that he gave to them was basically, you need to go out and you need to witness. And all of those disciples in doing that, and all of us sitting here right now, we all have that same command, is to go out and to witness. And what that simply says to me is, go out and tell people the difference that Jesus has made in my life, and you would tell them the difference that he's made in your life. That's your testimony. And as we look at these verses of Scripture tonight, we're going to see that Philip used various ways as he approached this individual that he met on that desert road. He used different ways to minister and to witness to this individual. And so, if you will, turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 through the end of the chapter. And I think by now most of us all know who Philip was. Philip was one who was in that church where there was kind of a disagreement on who should take care of the widows. And so a committee came together. It must have been a Baptist church. So a committee came together and they decided that there would be some people who would basically stay and do the work of the church. And then there would be others who would go out. In fact, there would be seven others who would go out, and they would be the ones who would proclaim the words of Jesus. And if you look back in the sixth chapter, in the third verse, we see the criteria, the job description for these people. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye among you and find seven of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so that was the command that was given. And if you go on down just a little bit further in verse 5, you see the list of those seven men who were chosen. And right in the middle of that list, you see this man whose name was Philip. And he's the one that eventually ended up in Samaria. And so let's just look at this story tonight and see how Philip witnessed to this Ethiopian eunuch, and how we can take the things that Philip did and apply them to our life and use them as we go about witnessing to people around us. Look, if you will, in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter. And here we see, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is the desert. Now, where was Philip at the time that this request was made of him? Philip was in Samaria. of all places for Philip to be. But Philip was in Samaria at this particular time, and he, as the scriptures say, he was having an evangelistic crusade. A lot was going on. People were coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and Philip was there, and everything seemed to be going well. And then it says that an angel of the Lord came to him, and he gave him a command to do. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God to, right in the middle of something that, that we're doing, that we enjoy doing, and maybe we're having a lot of success at doing, and he comes in at the most inopportune time, and he says, you need to go somewhere else. Now, I oftentimes have difficulty with that, and probably you do too. You would say, well, why? You know, I'm here, I'm witnessing, people are coming to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Why would you want to pull me away from here? And you know, we need to understand that God doesn't have to explain why. All he does is gives us the command. And the command that he gave to Philip in this verse of scripture was simply to go. How many times in the scriptures do we see that word? Even when you go to the Great Commission, right there at the end of the book of Matthew, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, the command that he gave to his disciples was simply to go. Throughout the New Testament, throughout the Bible, as God or Jesus has intervened in someone's life, maybe it's to bring healing to a body, or a person has come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior, or something has happened, Jesus, the next command he gives to them is to go. Go and tell people what's happened to you. And, you know, as far as a witness is concerned, that's what he's telling us to do. Go and tell. And so in these verses of Scripture, we see that Jesus oftentimes comes to us at the most inopportune time, and he asks us to do something. Now, Philip was called on to go and to witness. And when he told him to go into the desert, no doubt Philip thought, why of all places would you send me to the desert? Because you see, the only people who went through the desert might be a caravan or something. As far as mass numbers of people, Philip was not going to have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people out there in the desert. But we know that any time God tells us to do something, or Jesus leads us to do something in our life, there's always the right time and the right place. And he will always, wherever he sends us, it will always work out that there's a reason why we have to be there. Last night, Marianne and I were sitting at a basketball game at our school, and there was a young boy. He's just a little elementary boy. I'm talking little tiny boy, 4 or 5 years old. And he was deaf. And he was sitting with his little sister, who was even smaller than him, and his dad. And his dad said, he came home last week, and he told me that the president came and told him about the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And he said Obama. And I said, no, he didn't say Obama. He said, Hutto. I said, I went over to his class, and I read to his class a story, and in that story there was reference to the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And I was impressed that this little boy even remembered Eiffel Tower. He remembered Paris, because I didn't think I read all that great to him. But the point is, last night was an opportunity that I was able to hear the results of what I did in that classroom. Now, there was nothing spiritual about that, but it was the time And it was a place I could have sat anywhere in that gym last night, but we sat there and they sat right behind us and we had this conversation. And so here it is in the verses of Scripture that when God tells us or leads us to go somewhere, the time and the place are all going to come together. And we're going to see why. And of course, Philip is going to see this as he goes out and he is obedient. Look in verse 27, and it says, "And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Probably this is the most important verse of Scripture in here as far as what we know about this eunuch. And it's found right there in the latter part of that verse, and it gives something that he did. He had gone to worship. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now in the process of going home. But in the very first part of that verse, as Philip goes out, no doubt when he saw this individual, he knew exactly what God had told him, why God had sent that angel to Samaria and told him to leave that place and go to the desert. Because all of a sudden, he's now having a conversation with this person. And look in verse 28, and it says, "And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And what Philip did, of course, was he did. I always have the picture in my mind as a child when I was growing up and I would read this story that chariot didn't really stop, that it was still going, and Philip was probably running along right beside it and maybe talking to the guy, and finally the guy stopped and they had this conversation. I don't know, that's probably just me that had that thought, but it helps me to understand and to get a little more pleasure out of the Scriptures. And so here it was. But look at the command that God gave to him. Once again, it begins with the word go. Go, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So there was not a lot of discussion that Philip could have. There was not a lot of any more explanation that needed to be given to him. He realized that this was a place and this was a time that God had appointed for him to be there. Now, there's three characters and characteristics about these characters that we see in these verses of Scripture. The first one is the eunuch. The eunuch was a seeker. He had gone to Jerusalem, and he was seeking to find God in worship. Secondly, he was seeking to find God in the Scriptures. What was he doing as he rode along in that chariot? He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And so he was seeking to find God in the Scriptures. And then the third way, and this is one we kind of have to read in, and that is that this individual had to have had some type of emptiness in his life. And he was seeking a way to fill that void. And he was doing that, one, by going to church, and studying the Scriptures, and two, by reading the Scriptures. And so the second person, of course, that we have in this these verses of Scripture is God Himself. And there He was seeking sinners. And we know that's what He was all about. So when He called Philip, He was calling Philip to come and to do something special for him. And so he sent Philip to do this job. And then the third person, of course, in the story is Philip himself. And the characteristics that he had was, first of all, that he was obedient. What if he just said, "Nah, I don't think so. I think I'll just stay here in Samaria and just continue doing what I've been doing." But he didn't. He was obedient. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to leave what he had established there in Samaria and to go and to be obedient to this call that God had given to him. And you know, when you think about witnessing, and you think about the fact that God calls us, first of all, when he calls us, we need to be obedient. And secondly, oftentimes we do have to make a sacrifice. Those who are called to the mission field, think of the sacrifice that they make, leaving their, oftentimes having to leave their family and go to another country and leave the language that they know and learn another language. But the third characteristic that we see about Philip is that he followed God's leadership to an unlikely place where he was able to witness to someone. Now look at verses 30 through 35, and we're going to see here where Philip actually told others, or told this individual about Jesus. In verse 30 it said, And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and saith unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? It says that the very first part of that verse of Scripture says that Philip ran. Now, why do you think that Philip ran to this person? I think he was so excited about the fact that he understood now why Jesus put him out there, why God put him out there, why that angel had called him to go to that place. And he was excited about it. You know, we get excited about all kinds of things that happen in our life, and we want to run, and maybe we want to run to it real quick. We got a call this afternoon. Of all things, our son in Atlanta and our daughter-in-law have asked us to keep the grandkids for a week. Can you believe they could be so inconsiderate of us that they would ask us to do this? Let me tell you, when that car pulls in the yard, Marianne Hutto is going to be running to that car because she wants to see those children, and she's going to be excited about it. And that's exactly what was going on with Philip here. He was excited. Here's why God sent me out here. Here's why that angel came to me, and I'm going to go and I'm going to have this opportunity to share with this person. Now, the other interesting thing in this verse of Scripture is it said that this eunuch, this Ethiopian, as he was reading, that Philip heard him reading. And so that says that he was reading out loud. So why was he reading out loud? What was going on there? What was that all about? Three possible ways. One of these I added. So, but one was, they said that the scrolls at that particular time, all the letters ran together. In other words, there weren't necessarily words, it was like letters. And so in reading that, it was oftentimes easier to read it out loud than it was to read it to yourself, because you could hear it. The second one, this is the one that I like, that I kind of added to this. Sometimes when I'm studying or something, I like to read out loud. And people might think I'm crazy. My secretary hears me sometimes. What is he doing in there? But there's something about reading it and seeing it and hearing it at the same time that helps you to process it and to understand it a little better. And so possibly that's the other reason, that's another reason why he was doing this. But I think there might be a third reason, for Philip's benefit. For Philip to hear what this man was reading, and to know that this man was reading from the Scriptures. Philip used the proper way to begin witnessing to this person. And what did Philip do? Look at what Philip did in the latter part of verse 30. He says, Understandest thou what thou readest? He asked a question. And in our witnessing experience, when we're going out and we're sharing the gospel with someone, especially someone whom we don't know, one of the ways that you can kind of break the ice so you can begin sharing the gospel with them is to ask them a question. And the question could be about their family, or it could be about friends, or it could be, when did you move to St. Augustine? Anything to to get that process going. And so here was Philip, and he asked this question of this person. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Here's the response in verse 31. And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired that Philip, that he should come up and sit with him. You know, in that one verse of Scripture, Philip has two invitations that are given to him. One, the man answered the question and said, "How do I understand?" And it's like an invitation. "Could you come? Could you come and explain this to me? Explain these words to me?" The second invitation was a very direct invitation. He said, "Won't you come sit in the chariot with me? Won't you come up here and sit in the chariot with me?" And of course, Philip did that because he understood that this man did not understand what he was reading. And the verses of Scripture that he was reading, in verse 32, he was reading about the suffering servant, and in verse 33, the last hours of Jesus. Look in verse 32, and it says, "The place of the Scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And so these are the verses of Scripture that this person was reading. And now Philip has the opportunity to share with him about whom this verse of Scripture is about. And in our witnessing experience, we have that also. We have the Scriptures that we can pick up and we can read to the individuals. On Sunday mornings when the different people come down to the front of the church, and you'll see that little white book that we have, and it's a little notebook. Well, inside that notebook, there's a laminated card, and it has verses of Scripture on it that is basically the plan of salvation. And so here was Philip. He was going to be able to use what this man was reading to share the gospel with him. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or some other man?" Wow. What an invitation. Philip was now ready. He was ready to be able to share the gospel with this person. And then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same Scripture, and he preached unto him about Jesus. Three statements are made in this verse of Scripture. First of all, it said that Philip opened his mouth. In verse 35, it said he opened his mouth. That was a term that was sometimes used. And sometimes have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you kind of want to maybe chime into the conversation, and so you feel like you have something important or significant to say. So you open your mouth. You don't say anything. It's like, and what does the person sometimes do? Go ahead. What is it? What is it that you have to say? And so the person would say that. And so here was Philip. It says that he opened his mouth because he had something significant that he needed to say. The second thing it says, he began at the same Scripture. Philip had a knowledge of the Scriptures. What if he had not had? What if he had not had that knowledge of the Scriptures? Could he have missed out on an opportunity to share with this person? What if we don't know the Scriptures? What if we don't know the answers? And we don't know all the answers to questions that people ask us, but it's important. It's important that we know the plan of salvation so that when the question is asked, we are able to share with the person. And then the third thing it says in verse 35 that he did, and it says he preached unto him about Jesus. The word preach simply means to tell the good news. What better news, what better person could this person, could Philip share with this individual other than to share with him the good news about Jesus Christ? So what was the result of all of this? Look in verses 36 through 40. In verse 36 it says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He asked a question about baptism. And you know, sometimes in our witnessing experience, and we're share with someone about Jesus, sometimes the conversation will get around to, do I have to go up there and go under the water? How many times has that happened to you in witnessing? Where the person questions, why do I have to go up there and go under the water? You know, every time that's asked of me, that just opens another way to share the gospel with them. To talk about, you know, the picture of baptism. It's what your life was like before you came to know Jesus Christ, and how you were buried and your sins were washed away, and how you came out and it's a new person. It's just another way to share the gospel with a person. And so here was Philip. And no doubt he had the he had the opportunity to share with this individual about baptism. Baptism is meaningless unless the person being baptized has believed in Christ for salvation. And Philip wanted to make sure of that. And look what happens in verse 7. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he recognized, this man recognized. And so Philip now knew that baptism for this man would be meaningful because he understood what baptism meant. And then it goes on, it says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still." You know what that means? Somebody else was in the wagon. Somebody else was driving the wagon. And the Ethiopian or Philip, we don't know which one of them said it, but told whomever it was to stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. And then he goes on, "And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." So we know that the eunuch went on, and he was happy. I've heard it said that he was probably the first missionary in his hometown because he was excited about what had happened to him out there on the road. But then it says that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So where did Philip go and what happened to him? It says, "But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." He preached in all the cities, and then he arrived and he stayed in Caesarea. There was still persecution going on. You see, Saul, there was a man by the name of Saul who was still persecuting people. Philip stayed he was actually in Samaria, in Caesarea for more than 20 years. Look over in the 21st chapter. And we're going to see a visit that a man by the name of Paul made to this man by the name of Philip. Look in verses 8 and 9 of the 21st chapter. And it says, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed, and we came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. One of the key words in this verse of Scripture is that they called him the evangelist. So he was still preaching. He was still telling people about Jesus Christ. Not only was he telling people who were around, but he had witnessed to his family. And it says here that he had basically raised his family, because it refers to the fact that they were prophesying. You know, in this whole story about Philip, when he left Samaria and then he had that encounter out on the road with the Ethiopian, how easy it could have been said, well, God, I'm done. I've done all that I need to do, and so now I'm just going to retire. But he didn't. He kept sharing the gospel. And you know, we should never come to the point in our life, in our Christian life, where we become so complacent or we become so satisfied with ourselves that we say, well, you know, it's time for me to kind of hang it up and let somebody else do it. We should never come to that point in our life. We should always be that person, just like Philip, to witness to Jesus Christ. In 14 months and 28 days, I'm going to retire. And I don't know what God has for me to do when that time comes. But whatever it is, Marianne and I are going to do it. And the point is, you know, Philip came to a point in his life where he could have just said, well, it's time to quit. But he didn't. So as we look at these verses of Scripture tonight, the question that we would have to ask, and this is a question that would be asked on a Sunday morning more. I don't think a Wednesday night crowd or a Sunday night crowd is one that we should ask this question too much of. And that is, first of all, are you a seeker or are you a witness? The seekers are those who, in my mind, don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They feel there's a void in their life, and so they're looking for a way to fill that void. And so they're seeking. There's many people who come here and come through those doors, and they're seeking something. And it could be Jesus Christ. So are you a seeker? If you are, then we would welcome the opportunity to share with you about Jesus Christ. Or are you a witness? Are you going to find those people who are seeking and share with them the love of Jesus Christ so that they too can have that free gift of eternal life that only He can give? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just come and I thank you, Lord, that each Sunday, each Wednesday, we can come together and we can enjoy this sweet, sweet fellowship with all of these people. And what a joy it is, and it's just the highlight. Should be the highlight of all of our days is the time that we spend with other believers. But Father, at the same time, we should be about your business. And your business is being that witness for you. You've given each one of us who knows you as our personal Lord and Savior. You've given each one of us a story that we can tell. And that we can simply say, and maybe not even with using a verse of Scripture, this is what my life was like. This is how I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And this is how my life has changed since then. And Father, just that simple story, you can use that to change the life of a person and cause that person to come into a relationship with you. So, Father, I just pray tonight as we leave here that we will all leave with the awesome responsibility that you've given to us to go and to share your word so that person who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior may experience that free gift of eternal life that only you can give. Thank you for each one of us who've been able to come here tonight and to just share in this time of prayer.